Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with all of you today. I always look forward to the trips that I get to take down to Texas. Texas is home. You know, I've been in Oklahoma for a number of years now, and so that's home too. But I'm not gonna tie myself down. I'm just gonna claim both as I go along. But I'll admit to all of you this morning, I'm a little bit nervous, came in a little bit nervous, and that's a couple different reasons for that, I would say. One, I always, know how important it is that stepping up into the pulpit and what that means, and so I take that very seriously, and so I always get a little bit nervous just for that reason. But I also, it's probably been a minute since a lot of you have heard me, and then some of you may have never heard me speak before. I'm not sure. So I have a choice that I had to think about this morning. Do I try and set the bar high and just give it my all, or do I go a little bit lower and give myself room to grow in your minds by the next time you hear me? So I'm going to try and give it my all, and I'll let y'all kind of decide where it lands. But the study that we're actually going to be going over today is a story that I've, when I was going back over it for this lesson, it's one I've heard many times in my life, and it always seems to surprise me with some new little things I can pull from it. And the main place we're going to spend our time is going to be in Mark, the second chapter, and then Luke 5 is the other one. We'll reference Matthew 9 a few times. But we'll be looking at several different passages revolving around all of those, and it recounts that same story of Jesus healing a paralytic man, a man who didn't have use of his legs at all. And I'm gonna open up, if you want to as well, to Luke, the fifth chapter, starting in verse 17. And we'll just read through that story to give us a starting reference place, a little bit of context as we go through, and then we'll talk about the background of that passage, and then go through a couple different groups of individuals that we'll see throughout this historical account. So again, Luke 5, verse 17, we're going to start there where it says, "On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with their bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, 'Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Rise and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been laying on, and he went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God where they were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen extraordinary things today.'" I love this story, because at its roots, you have a man who has some barriers in his life, some challenges that he has always, or at least as far as I know, he's been paralyzed for a substantial amount of time. And yet, he's willing to do whatever it takes to get closer to Jesus. That should be all of our goals as well. Whatever challenges that we face, whatever things come our way in life, and those things probably come more often than what we would like them to at various different times. But with the right steps and the right things that we give ourselves the opportunity, there will always be a way to get closer to Jesus. So we're going to try and explore that a little bit in several different groups. Before we do that, I will talk a little bit about some of the background of this in particular passage. There's a lot that goes on leading up to this paralytic man being set before Jesus inside of the midst of the crowd. And so I'm going to pull all the way back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He was in the northern region of Galilee, is where he kind of gets his start. And he's preaching and teaching to crowds inside of the areas that he was going. And he's at one point in time along the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across a boat that two individuals named Simon and Andrew, who were brothers, owned. And he asks them to be able to kind of take him out on the water because the crowd was kind of pressing up against him. They had gotten the crowd had gotten large, and there wasn't enough space. And so Jesus sits on this boat, and he teaches the people while he is there. And there's a whole other lesson that could be taught inside of this story. So I'll just say one thing leads to another, and Simon and Andrew, Jesus calls them to follow him, and they do. And this wasn't any small request, by the way, because they left everything right then and there, and they followed him. Simon, at least we know, was married, had a family at this point in time. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, we find reference to Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law. And so he had a family that he left at that point in time to be able to go and follow after Jesus. They also eventually come across another set of individuals, other fishermen, just like Simon and Andrew, James and John. And those two had the same call that was made, and they left and they followed Jesus. Not a small request. They had their father there in the midst of them when this happened, and they left their father at that given time. So when it comes to seeking after Jesus, no matter what is present inside of our lives and how large of a thing that is, Jesus always comes first. That's not to say we don't prioritize our families and responsibilities and all of those very important things. That is crucial inside of being able to figure out, what is the top tier things we need to focus on in life. But nothing comes above Jesus when it comes to those things. And so Jesus, all along the way, he's performing miracles and he's healing folks. And word really starts to spread about what's going on. Eventually, he finds his way. Again, he's kind of in the northern region of Galilee, and there's a place that's there called Capernaum. And Jesus starts teaching immediately inside of the synagogues at that point in time. And he's casting out unclean spirits. We find a reference to an individual where he cast out an unclean spirit, and word spreads fast about Jesus. Nowadays, the way we get news or information a lot of the time, there's so many different things vying for our attention. We get notifications pinging at us. You have TV channels that are telling you all. So even local news stations likely are telling you national stories at some point in time, or If you're still somebody who gets a newspaper, I love having something in my hand to be able to read, by the way, but that's rare. Nowadays, probably not going to get a newspaper most of the time. These folks didn't have that. Most of it was, did you hear what happened with Jesus casting out that unclean spirit? So you told everybody. When you saw this amazing thing, word of mouth, and the way that that news transported, everybody told everybody. And so Jesus had people swarming to him, and he was eventually kind of in a place where he had to leave Capernaum because there were so many people kind of seeking his attention, seeking his help. Now, sometime around this period, in Matthew, the 8th chapter, there's an event where Jesus also is on the sea with his disciples, and he calms the storm. So we have the first instance of that happening. There's another instance later on where Jesus goes off kind of on his own and meets the disciples walking on the water in a stormy situation. But this was the first time that occurs. And then they travel through Galilee when Jesus eventually finally encounters a leper who is looking for healing from him. This leper, Jesus heals him and tells him to go through the various different steps that were required during the Old Testament times to be made clean. And so he was going to show himself to the priests and do a variety of other things. But there was one really important instruction that Jesus included. And he said, don't go and tell everybody. Don't do that. And lo and behold, this man is healed and he's excited, he's joyful, and he goes and he tells everybody. So we find that gratefulness is not the same thing as faithfulness. Gratefulness is not the same thing as faithfulness, because the result of that is, again, Jesus has to leave. Too big of crowds. So that finally leads us back to Capernaum. So he began in Capernaum early on, and now he is finally back into that area again. There's a lot that goes on. Now, some of the accounts, you wouldn't quite know it. You have a passage, I believe, that it's in the Matthew account. Pull out my Bible just to make sure. But there's one that just says essentially a series of events. Some things happened and then he was in Capernaum. So you know, if you were just reading through, doing a regular reading, you almost wouldn't even know it, that he had gone through so many different things. Matthew 9, it says, "And getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city, and behold, some people brought him a paralytic." So if you just looked at Matthew 9, you know, it's like he got on a boat and now there's this paralytic man here with him. Mark 2 starts off, "And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, there's a lot of things occurring, it was reported that he was at home." So it's interesting. Because what do we have inside of this situation? Well, we're going to talk about four groups here. The first one that we're going to talk about is Jesus. Jesus is probably tired. He's been forced city to city. He's had people requesting things from him all over the place. And he's been in Capernaum for a few days before this event actually happens with the paralytic man. He's been teaching and healing. And around this time period, we have a group of Pharisees and scribes who come from all over Galilee to be able to hear him. And then Judea and Jerusalem, they come from there as well. So Jesus has a lot that's been going on with him. And yet, everywhere that Jesus goes, what is he doing? He's teaching and he's healing. I think that, to me, resonated quite a bit, because there are days where I feel like I'm just busy. You know, that busyness weighs on you over time if you don't give yourself a ton of break or space. And, you know, unlike Jesus, I have more opportunities likely to be able to hide away from crowds. I'm not that interesting as far as, you know, being able to heal lepers and cast out spirits and things of that nature. I'm not saying I'm boring, but it's something that Jesus couldn't really escape. If we seek after Jesus in those moments when we're tired and we're weary, we'll be able to learn and we'll be able to heal. Just like he brought everywhere that he went, for us, all we have to do is open up our Bibles, get down on a knee, say some words of thanks to God, ask him for help. We get that same teaching and healing. Ultimately, Jesus, inside of his role inside of this story, he does that for the paralytic man, but he also gives that same teaching and healing power to all of those who are witness to those events. And ultimately, his purpose inside of this story is to help save as well. The paralytic man was healed of his sins as the first initial step. And then when people didn't believe that healing power and thought that he was blaspheming, you know, Jesus references at various different times the lack of faith that scribes and Pharisees had. In this instance, it reminds me of when folks... I'm gonna skip over, because I can't remember the passage off the top of my head. So I want to stick to my notes, not try and go too off script. Jesus showed a combination of different things inside of this story where he was perfectly human and he was perfectly divine all at the same time. And so within instances in which he was tired and weary, he gave himself the ability to be able to have some sort of release. And so when he left different cities, he was finding ways to be able to be human, to acknowledge where his limitations were. But then, inside of the instance where he healed the paralytic man, he had a divine ability that only he could do, or that he could share with others to be able to do, which was to be able to heal sins. In Mark, the second chapter in verse 10, Jesus refers to him as the Son of Man, or that's how he's referenced, which of course is that perfect encapsulation between him being perfectly man and perfectly God. But by design, Jesus became flesh in order to be able to save mankind. While the Trinity is all-knowing, no matter what, Jesus coming to the earth helped us be able to understand that Christ is able to perfectly understand our physical conditions and our spiritual conditions. All the things that we experience, Jesus knew. And so I think this, in many ways, is an act of empathy. Jesus allows us to be able to connect with him more because he became like us. This is how Jesus functions in our lives today. He is our intercessor. He is able to empathize with the struggles that we have. And so if we have any questions about whether or not there's ever something that is going on in our lives, some sort of challenge that we can't be healed of, know that Jesus, that's why he came. He came so that we could be healed, could be saved. So we always go to him and ask and say, can I be forgiven of this? Will you forgive me of my sins? 70 times 7. So there's an infinite amount of instances that God wants us to say we're sorry if something goes wrong. Okay, here's the second group here, which is the crowd. The crowd around the paralytic man made it to where the paralyzed individual wasn't able to see. So they were blocking his vision here. And then, as previously mentioned, there was largely scribes and Pharisees. If we think about people coming from all over these cities, not only in Galilee, but in surrounding areas, I imagine that's a decent number of scribes and Pharisees. Probably almost everyone in that crowd that day who was making up what was going on with scribes and Pharisees. I'm sure there were folks just like the paralytic man who probably were seeking healing and things like that too. But from what I can tell, inside of the Luke account, I would guess a large majority of that crowd, scribes and Pharisees, who had traveled to see him. Now the crowd, I think they had a couple of main objectives here inside of this story. They were wanting to observe, to learn, but also to judge. They were trying to see what this man Jesus was all about. And so whenever he does heal the paralyzed individual, they show their cards a little bit. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? So the majority here, I think their goal is largely self-centered. They're trying to be able to understand, is this man going to be a threat to the things we know, teach, maybe even thinking about position? So those are more just thought exercises, I think. We can't see the exact intent of their hearts, but Jesus could. And so whenever they did question Jesus, he addresses it directly and discusses where they've kind of gone off track. And I think it's interesting here. Jesus talks about the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees throughout the New Testament almost more, if not more, than any other danger. He focuses in on that for a reason, not because it was exclusively meant for that time period. Many of these accounts, Mark, for instance, were written for the Gentiles. The gospel accounts weren't written exclusively for the Jews. Some of them were focused on that audience. But we today need to understand it's not just religious denominations outside of the world where we can look and say they're being pharisaical, they're being like Pharisees, and we need to really avoid that. He wanted his people, Jesus wanted his people to think about this often. Today, we don't need to understand or we don't need to say we need to be watchful of pharisaical things so we never are like that. We need to know that sometimes we are going to be pharisaical. There are going to be times where we fall into that. We need to pull back and say, am I adding more here that's not there? Am I taking away from what's there? Am I both intellectually, emotionally, spiritually connected to these things? So I've thought about that a lot. That's why I have some of those notes in here is because it hit me kind of hard. I was like, oh, where am I? Is there areas I'm doing that? Still thinking about it a lot. I think it's one definitely worth chewing on. Third individual here is the paralytic man himself. We don't have any other context about the paralytic man's, you know, life or growing up, what he was like or something to that nature, but we know this man wanted to see Jesus. And he wanted to see Jesus badly. And so here, he was willing to be able to go to whatever lengths, even to the point where he had some friends of his be able to bring him to the roof and be lowered down through the ceiling so that he could achieve his goal. The paralytic man, I think, is a good representation of anyone who's sincerely seeking the gospel today. But sometimes, I think there are moments in our lives where we come across instances where we're paralyzed. And we don't know exactly what to do if we have to do it by ourselves. So we need to kind of put ourselves inside of the shoes of this man. Where can we get help in order to get closer to Jesus? Sometimes, if we do try and do it by ourselves, really easy to get stuck. That's one of the other interesting things about the crowd. The crowd was so focused on themselves being able to see Jesus that they blocked off others from being able to see Jesus. This last group showed that it's possible to seek Jesus yourselves and help others seek Jesus. So this is the paralytic's helpers is what I call this group. Now, inside of this instance, Jesus refers to the faith of the group. I'm going to pull open Mark the second chapter in verse 5 here. Says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus doesn't just recognize the faith of the man who's paralyzed. He recognizes the faith of the entire group who is getting the paralyzed man down into his presence. And so they overcame a series of barriers to see Jesus. One, they had to carry the paralytic man to the roof. I don't know about you all, but that sounds difficult to me. I know folks who have done deeper studies on the way that the buildings were constructed and the different methods that they probably could have used, and it's very interesting to think. All I know is some days I have a hard time sitting up straight in bed and being like, okay, let's just lean out of bed today. So to think about carrying someone up on top of a rooftop, it sounds difficult. So I just have to have some respect for that just in and of itself. And it sounds like they were not skipping gym days as they were prepping for this moment. The second part is that they broke through the ceiling. So that's the second barrier. And they, inside of this challenge, they literally broke through that barrier for this person. So when we're seeking instances where we can apply some of this to our lives, whatever comes in our way to get to Jesus, I guarantee you there's ways to break through those barriers and get ourselves closer to him. The last portion is they lowered him down. I think that this is kind of interesting in and of itself, that process of lowering yourself before Jesus. Not only, with this paralyzed man, it had to be humbling. Everybody's going to see you being lowered down through. Maybe it's embarrassing.
I don't know. But that humbling process, lowering ourselves before Jesus, is vital. So what about us? What are some of the last takeaways that we can have? And what are the goals that we can have for ourselves? We know that Jesus' goal in the story was to heal and to save. The crowd, they were really there to assess, to judge, to perhaps learn. But theirs were more self-centered. The paralytic man, his goal was to be healed. And then the friends of the paralytic, their goal was to help get their friend before Jesus. So I think we can have some similar goals. What saves those who need healing? We know that Jesus' care, love, and commandments are what brings us before God, and we need to be able to have the goal to be closer to Jesus like the paralytic man was. However, as Jesus, as far as I found, was always pointing to someone's faith as well inside of instances where he healed. It was a very common occurrence. And in this instance, he pointed to faith. So we need to have the goal of increasing our faith. Our faith gets us closer to Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I was recently attending kind of a virtual event, and I heard a phrase that kind of stuck with me, that leaders are readers. You know, leaders are readers. So if we want to increase our faith, if we want to be closer to Jesus, we read our Bibles. I am a poor reader. Not as in a lack of effort for reading. I'm just slow. My wife just read a 500-page book yesterday and then started a second one in the evening time. I don't get that. That makes no sense to me. I would read a 500-page book in 2 years, maybe. You give me enough time. But there are things we can do, even if reading isn't your strong point like me. Pull out your Bible app or some sort of mobile or desktop Bible application. And almost every single one of those has an audio Bible. Maybe you listen to it. Incorporate it into your daily routines. If you don't have a daily routine, I bet that at some point in time you eat a meal. And if you incorporate a habit in with something you do on a regular basis, I typically start with maybe a meal, because you're feeding yourself physically, might as well feed yourself spiritually. Just do both at the same time. Help incorporate the habit. Seeking God through faith. I think it's interesting too. Reading the Bible is so important, but having an abundance of knowledge doesn't make us better than other folks who are seeking knowledge as well about Jesus, but maybe aren't quite at the same level. Maybe you have a new Christian who just started reading versus a Christian who has been in the church for many years and had more time. Why do I say this? Well, the scribes and Pharisees were likely more well-studied than any of those folks who were in the group with the paralytic. Again, I don't know their backgrounds. Maybe they were very well-studied and they, could outpace the scribes and Pharisees. But as a general rule, those were the folks people looked to for knowledge. But the faith of the paralytic man was what was pointed to as the example inside of the story. And so, a lot of people know what to do, but they don't do what they know. That's key. A lot of people know what to do, but they don't do what they know. And so we have to have both. We have to know the Bible, We have to do what it says. We have to do it with love. All of those are key. And lastly here on the goals, I know that Jesus, again at the beginning we mentioned his goal was to heal, and then the paralytic man was to be healed. To know Jesus more and more, that's the main takeaway. If you don't take anything else away, the pursuit of being close to Jesus is the goal. Now, there are people who will seek Jesus in the wrong ways. And so you have a right way and a wrong way. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we do follow that as the pattern of how we go about seeking Jesus. But seeking Jesus in the way that he asked us to, I guess, is the modification here. That's the core goal. Okay, I want to look here at some of these. Well, actually, you know what? I probably jumped the gun on my notes and I just didn't click my slide forward here. But I want to leave all of us with this thought. That if somebody who had no ability to be able to walk and had no ability to see Jesus, his visibility was blocked off, and he really was just disadvantaged all over the place, all things considered, with this situation. If he was able to make it through, to seek help of others, we need to lean on each other, and we need to seek Jesus. And I know we have some really incredible brethren here, and so lean on each other, as I know all of you do. And if there's a way that you're struggling, and there's someone here who has a challenge that you feel like you're paralyzed, you feel like you've been not able to see which way to go, get some good help around you, because there's folks that will love you and will help you be closer to Jesus. I have to ask for that help all the time. So there's an invitation that we'll offer here, not only for folks who maybe have had something in their life that they need prayers for. So if you have something and you've done something of a public nature that you would like the prayers of the church, then you can come forward during this invitation, but also come talk to any of the brethren here, any of the leaders, the elders, deacons. I know deacon candidates, I know y'all are in the works right now. But talk to somebody, and any time will work. If there's somebody who's not been baptized and you haven't been able to enter into the Lord's church, there's an invitation to be able to come forward for that as well. So we offer both while we stand and while we sing.